As we start a new month, we are turning our attention to a new psalm. We sing a psalm throughout the entirety of the month, and to start off with, we have a brief meditation that will explain some things and call our attentions to Jesus Christ. Listen as I read Psalm 44. This is God's word. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Selah. But you have cast us off and put us to shame. You do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food, and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing, and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those all around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. Because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake! Why do you sleep, O God? Arise! Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. Psalm 44 asks an important question. Why do God's people suffer persecution? Especially when we have not turned away from God. The psalmist starts this psalm by remembering how God had acted in the past. He had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He had brought them into the promised land of Canaan. God was the one who went before them and opened up that land, so much so that they could say that God fights for us. We did not possess this land by our own strength, our own cunning, our own weapons. It is only because of what God has done. It leads to very high praise in verses 4 through 8, where the psalm says, "You are my king, O God. I will not trust in my bow or sword. You have saved us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever." Having seen how God had acted for them in days past, then provides the counterpoint, as it were, for what comes next. In verse 9, there is a turning to complain to the Lord. And I use that term not in the negative sense of the Israelites who complained about the lack of food or the lack of water. There's a sense of bringing before the Lord the way in which the suffering that we have is hard to understand. And it does ask that very important question and gives a prayer to us, and really a prayer to the persecuted church throughout all ages. We might say the verses 1 through 8 give a contrast. That was then and this is now. So what is it like now? For the psalmist, he says, now it seems as if God has forgotten his people. It seems as if God has forgotten his promises. And most importantly, persecution has come upon God's people without there being any sense of disobedience because of that. Now, we're careful here and acknowledge that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the psalmist isn't saying we're completely free from sin, but he's saying that the Lord would be right to discipline us if we had turned to idols. But God, you know, you search our hearts. You know that we have not turned to idolatry. And yet we see that your people are persecuted all day long. We are being delivered like sheep for the slaughter. And even in the midst of that persecution, in verses 17 through 19, he says, we have not turned away when we went through this trouble. And so the psalmist in verse 22 brings to the high point this concern and this prayer for the persecuted church. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And he goes on to ask that the Lord would arise, that he would awaken to the cause of his people. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Do not cast us off forever. And it closes out with this passionate plea for help. Arise, O Lord, for our help, and redeem us for your mercy's sake. In this way, Psalm 44 has given us that pressing question about the persecution of God's church. It gives us a prayer for the persecuted church throughout every age. And I focus on that today because here in the United States, we have had an unprecedented period of peace and prosperity. So much so that I tend to think that we look at suffering as being abnormal for the people of God. In other words, when something bad happens, we immediately conclude that there's some sense of God's displeasure or being outside of God's will, as if it were the normal thing for there to be prosperity to be rained down on believers in every place and in every age without exception. But that's not the case. Psalm 44 fits well in the grand story of redemption that arches over the entirety of Scripture. It says in Genesis that there is enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. That's the promise of Jesus Christ, and the enmity that is there between the world without Christ and with Jesus and his people. An enmity that comes to its most vicious expression of those who hated Jesus Christ and crucified him, and continues to the end of the age. Paul confesses this in Romans chapter 8 when he quotes from this psalm, from verse 22. He quotes and says that we are indeed, for your sake, killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And in saying that, he helps us to understand what the theology of suffering is. That there is a suffering that comes upon God's people just because we belong to Jesus Christ, because of that enmity that exists between Christ and his church and the people who reject him. Paul understands this, and he leads us to say with Psalm 44 that our suffering is because we suffer for your sake, because we belong to the Lord. This is in keeping especially with the words of Jesus Christ himself. In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us this understanding, this introduction to a theology of suffering. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Throughout this month, as you sing Psalm 44 and meditate on the reality of suffering and persecution, I pray that you would remember that you suffer for Christ's sake, that he enables you to endure that suffering with the promise that there is great reward in heaven in store for you, because you are in Christ. We'll be singing that psalm in its entirety today, broken up into three different portions. We'll start with that first selection, for Psalm 44, Selection A. I invite you to stand to sing of God's deliverance.